Praise the Lord. We could spend all morning probably talking about God's faithfulness over the year. It is a brand new year. We're in 2019, and of course, it's a time for us to reflect and to look back at the year behind us. And it's always good to stop and be grateful for God's faithfulness. You know what? You're here, folks. You're here on the first Sunday of January in 2019. You made it through 2018. You might be glad it's over, but you made it, and that's your testimony. Amen. Didn't like 2018, but I'm still alive, still vertical, I'm still breathing, still walking with the Lord, still serving God. I'm here on the first Sunday of 2019 to say I believe that God should take preeminence in my life, that Jesus should be first in everything that I do, and so I am grateful that you're here this morning. You could have gave up. Could have gave up in 2018. You could have quit in 2018, but you didn't. So pat yourself on the back. Good job. Good job. God got you here, and God's going to keep you. Amen. Because He's faithful in Jesus' name. He's faithful. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Psalm 139. We do encourage you to come out and be with us on Wednesday evenings. As you see, we are having communion today, so prepare your heart for that. And then for the Malachi dads, that'll be January the 14th. Also, we will be having a board meeting on Tuesday evening. We'll be talking about the money situation. We'll be talking about the budget. So, leaders, ministry leaders, if you want to get me numbers, I need those numbers as soon as you possibly can. If there's anything that you're looking for or you're needing, please let me know. If not, we will set the budget for what we believe we're going to do this year. And so please give me some information, and we will be meeting Tuesday evening, 6 o'clock for that board meeting. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, how grateful we are to be here today to kick off this new year, committed, O Lord, in Jesus' name, to following after You. Lord, we want to commit this year to You. And so as we do so, we dive into Your Word today and ask that You would open up our hearts and help us comprehend and understand what it is You're wanting to say to us. And may You get all of the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Title of my message this morning is simply entitled, Why? Now, I know most of you might be thinking, all right, Mark's going to answer all the questions of why in my life. No, I'm not. I can't. Wish I could, but I can't. But how many of you will admit there are a lot of whys in life? Not the letter Y, but why? Why, oh God? Although there are a lot of whys, too. There's a why every week, every day. And the thing is, why can be one of the most frustrating of questions. It would be easier to get through things if we just knew why, wouldn't it? It'd be easier to understand why we're going through what we're going through if we just knew why. We don't always know that. But how many of you know if you've got kids in your life, children, grandchildren, you've heard the question, why? Avery, for some reason, emphasizes the H. Why? Why, Daddy? I'm sure all of you, you've had that, have you not? No matter what you say to a child, most of the time, yes or no is not enough. Can I have a Starburst? No. Why? I have to know why. Because it's not enough to tell a kid yes or no. You also have to search to the deep regions of the purpose and the reason behind your yes or no. Am I right? You ever looked at a kid and said, just yes? Or no, go away. I don't have to stand here and philosophize with you. The answer is no. And it'll continue to be no if you don't go away. I know that even when we talk about God, there are a lot of whys, and that's so true. Because in our spiritual walk with the Lord, we don't always understand why we go through what we're going through. We wonder why God would let something happen. Or we wonder why didn't God do something the way we thought that God should do something. We wonder why we're going through it. And while we're going through it, we wish that we could say, you know, I went through it, but I know why I went through it. or while I'm in the middle of it. I know why God's taking me through this. And we don't always know that question. We don't always have the answer to all of those things, because we can lose our minds going over every scenario and every possibility of the why, can't we? We can spend a lot of our time walking the floor, staying up at night, biting our fingernails, pulling our hair out if we've got any, because we're trying to figure out every scenario and every possibility of why we got where we are. Now, how many of you will admit that many times the enemy always takes it back to being your fault? Now, I know there are people in our life that we know that it's never their fault, but in a lot of cases, most of us, we recognize, you know, the enemy will come, he'll say, you're in this place because of what you have done or because of what you did not do. And he uses that to condemn. He uses that to beat us up. But here's the thing, folks, and this is what we can know. This is what we've seen. If you've been serving God for any period of time, if you can look back over your life, look back over 2018, look back over the past and what you've been through, there's one thing that we can know. God is always good. God is always good. God is faithful. And we know that the Bible says that He is working all things out for our good. And we know that God's purpose for our life is for our greatest joy and for His glory. So you can settle in your hearts. You may not know why you are where you are. You may not know why you're going through what you're going through. But God is working all things out for our good. His purpose is good. His love for you never fails. His faithfulness will never come up short. His promises are true. I just want you to know, in 2019, Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. And you can rest in your trust of His faithfulness. God has been faithful. God will continue to be faithful. And even though we might not understand the why, we do understand the who. We do understand who is involved in our lives. But this is not really the why question I want us to tackle here this morning. The why question I want us to tackle today is ourselves. We can look at what's going on around us and try to figure out what's happening. Some of you guys are figure-outers. You want to sit down. You want to go through all the scenarios. You want to go through all the possibilities. You want to figure out all the whys. You want to cross all your T's, dot all your I's. You want everything in place. Y'all know anybody like that? But we're not going to talk about the whys around us. I want us to talk about ourselves. We want to get a little introspective this morning. Our challenge at the beginning of this new year is to put our heart on the altar before the Lord. I know that, as I said last week, God doesn't look at our calendar and say, oh, let me flip it over. It's a brand new year for me, right? I mean, the Jewish people actually celebrated their new year in September, so we're a couple months behind God's people, right? So I know that God doesn't look at calendars and say, oh, well, I should have changed mine over. I should have recognized. I should have blown my horn. Happy New Year. Right? God is timeless. He's outside of time. He's been. He always will be. Time means nothing to God. But I do know that God recognizes that there are shifts, there are transitions in our lives. And so I believe that as we come into this new year, it is an opportunity for us to start over, to hit the reset button. Control, Alt, Delete. We're going to restart. We're going to reboot. We get an opportunity to say bye to 2018. It's almost like it gives us closure, right? Goodbye, 2018. I hated you. I'm glad you're gone. Don't you dare ever raise your ugly head again. I'll shoot you with a legally owned firearm. I'm just saying, in self-defense. I'm just saying. But we do have that opportunity to turn a page. This is a brand new chapter to write. All those nice little sayings that we have about the new year, right? It's a new page. It's a new book. It's page one of 365. We see those, don't we? We like those. They make us smile. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Congratulations. And so here we come into 2019. And so as we do that, I want us to go into this year saying that this is the year that I finally stopped talking about it. This is the year that I finally quit saying things and do something about it. Come on now. How many of you have some resolutions that you're wanting to do this year in 2019? I don't have any problems with resolutions. I think they're powerful. I think they're opportunities for you to set goals, to set vision for your life, and all those kind of things. I believe that that's something that should be done. I don't believe in making unrealistic goals, okay? I'm sorry, but you're not going to grow to 6'5". You're done, all right? You're done. You're not getting there. There's no need to make unrealistic goals. I'm not running a marathon this year. I'm just hoping to get around the block, and so I'm making realistic goals, all right? I'm not Scott Poor. I'm not David. I'm not making unrealistic resolutions, right? I might be able to eat like Scott Poor, but I can't run like him, all right? But Scripture indicates, folks, that if we want true success, it's not just the keeping of resolutions that make our year successful. It's not just the fact that we make money or that we get the position that we always wanted or the job we always wanted or the relationship we always wanted or whatever it is that we were searching for. The Scripture tells us that true success in our lives always begins from the inside. You know as well as I do that there are, quote, successful people out there that live miserable lives. They are successful in the eyes of the world. They have the house that we all want, the money that they want, the supposed family that we want. They go on the vacations that we want to go on. We block them on Facebook because they say too much about the vacations they go on Facebook. We get mad, right? We say these kind of things because we recognize they are successful. You know what? I'm happy. I'm glad. I want to be that person. I want you to block me on Facebook. Mark's got too much money, and I'm mad at him. But you know what? True success is not found in what you have on the outside. Jesus said, life does not consist of the things in which we possess. We understand that Scripture tells us that we must start from the inside because the matters of the heart are the most important matters that we can tend to. I know that you probably, at this very moment, there are things at your home that need tended to. How many of you would say amen? Things that need tended to, things that need worked on, things that's been on a list for 6 years. Things that the wife have said, when? Not why, but when? When are you getting to this? When are you going to hire someone? Because obviously you're not. When? There are things that we've got to tend to in our lives, but the most important thing is the matter of our heart. And so that's the deal. 2018 may have put some junk in your heart. You may have went through a year, and now your life looks like the front yard of Sanford and Son. You're trying your best to hide it. Come on now. How many of you, some of you got stuff, and you know how to hide it. You got stuff. You put it in the right place, right? You got tarps over things. You throw things under beds. You throw things in closets that no one uses, right? Don't touch that handle. Do not touch that door. 2018 puts junk in our heart. Maybe you feel like that you are carrying with you some hurts, some wounds, some heaviness from 2018. Maybe you even feel like that you've got some attitudes, some pursuits, some relationships that instead of pulling you towards God has pulled you away from God in 2018. But that's why we need to be honest. Some of us have unfulfilled promises and unmet resolutions. We made resolutions that we gave up on in February. Unmet things, unmet goals, attitudes, words that we've said that we wish we could get back, relationships that we've lost that we wish we still had, jobs that we wish we still had, money that we wish we still had. We're carrying into 2018 some things that we lost. But you know what? There may be some of you that are going into 2019 excited. You're running into 2019. Your heart is soaring because 2018 was fantastic for you. Some of you are getting married in 2019. Boy, isn't that wonderful. We got a lot of weddings that are taking place in 2019 in this church. Jimmy and Angel got married in 2018. Hopefully that was a highlight for you guys. That's the first thing I'm starting with, questioning why I got married. And you know what? There may be even some of us in here that have some lingering sins that we need to deal with that we're carrying into 2019. That's where it gets all uncomfortable. But whatever it is, whether you're going into 2019 pumped up or whether you're going into 2019 mad and yelling at the world, it's a new time. It's a new chapter. It's a new opportunity to start over. But it's also to take an opportunity to take a sincere look at our hearts and ask the question, why?
David didn't pray some flippant prayer. Oh, Lord, bless me. In Jesus' name, amen. And went on about his day. David prayed a very, very bold prayer. He comes to God with no pretenses. Completely transparent. Completely open. Which means he's extremely vulnerable. He's vulnerable before God as he prays this prayer. Here I am, God, and here's what I'm going to pray. Number one, search me. One translation says, examine me. Another translation says, look deep into my heart. Search me. Do we know how serious this is? He's talking, folks, to God. I mean, I wouldn't want to be searched by the FBI, but this guy's talking to God. This guy is talking to God. There is nothing you can hide from God. There is nowhere you can go to cover up. You cannot lie to God. You cannot be fake. You cannot be false. You are laid bare before the God of the universe. You might be able to fake it with your spouse and your friends and your coworkers. You might be able to fake out the pastor and the people at church, but you can't fake out God. So David is not coming to someone and saying, look at all that I have done. He's coming to a God who already knows where he's been, he knows where he is, and God knows where he's going. He's coming to someone that hasn't just seen what David has done. He has seen the motivation and the intentions of his heart. Search me. Do we understand the seriousness of that prayer? Examine me. See, there's some of us that don't like to go to the doctor because they examine. Right? They examine. Some of you lie to the doctor. You go to the doctor, you waste money, and you lie to him. How is everything? I'm fine. Doing well. Anything we need to check? No, I'm fine. Really? You just fell over and almost died yesterday, but you're fine. Everything's good, right? We lie to the doctor because we don't want to be examined. We don't want them to look. We don't want them to take blood. We don't want them to poke and prod. We don't want them. The doctor is a very vulnerable place, isn't it? I mean, especially you don't want to put those gowns on when you're in hospital. Aren't those the craziest things? Got those gowns on, the back's all open. You're wondering what's going on. Everybody's seeing you. David said, search me. Examine me. Because it is, church, human nature for us to hide. It is human nature for us to hide. It started with Adam and Eve. It is human nature for us to cover up our faults and failures so that the outside looks better. But David said, search me, examine me. What else does he say? Know my heart. What's David saying? Know the real me. Know what makes up who I am. I want you to know my passions, my loves, my hates, my plans. I want you to know everything about you, me. I want you to know my motives. I want you to know what motivates me. Because let's be honest, as people, we judge people by what they do, but we judge ourselves by our motives. I had good intentions. My intentions were good. I know I acted like an idiot, but my intentions were great. Right? But we judge people by what we see from the outside. David's saying, I don't want you to judge me by my actions right now. I want you to judge me by my heart. I want you to look down on the deep inside of me that only you and I know, God. And I want you to know that place. Know that place. Listen to how scary this prayer is. Then look at what he has the audacity to pray. Try me. God, try me. Put me to the test. Prove me. Strip me of my intentions and find out what I'm made of. Try me. Try me, God. Now, as dangerous as that prayer is, we have to recognize what God normally does to try us. How do we get tried? How do we get proven? We get tried in the fire. You get tried in the tribulation. You get tried in the battle. You get proven in the fight. David's saying, put me in the fire. Man, we don't pray that, do we? God, I am good. I'm solid. I'm as shiny gold as I possibly can be. No dross on this guy. You don't have to mess with me, God. And God's like, all right, we'll find out. Because, man, your shout is great when you're on the mountaintop. Our praise is fantastic when everything's going well. But David's prayer was, try me, prove me, strip me of my pretenses. Find out what I'm made of. God wants to find out what we're made of, folks. Number four, what's he pray? Know my thoughts. That could be the scariest prayer of all times. Know what fills my mind. Know my dreams, my nightmares, my fantasies. Know what I think about myself. Know what I think about others. Know what I think about you. Know my anxieties, my concerns, my fears. Why? Because my mind is the battleground. So God, I want you to see my fight. I want you to see my fight. Know my mind. Know that when I have the opportunity to think about whatever I want to think about, because we all have those times in our lives where we are forced to think about things because we have to, right? We go to a job every day that requires us to think, right? Your job requires you to think? I'm not sure. Some of us are like, nah, not really. I just show up. The only thing I'm thinking about is how I can find a way to get to lunch, all right? But normally our jobs require us to think. We're having conversations. It requires us to think. We have responsibilities in our lives that dwell on us. We've got to think about them. We've got to plan them out. We've got things that are coming up that we're looking forward to. We've got to plan it out. We have to think. But when we get to that place where we're able to think about whatever we want to think about, what fills our minds? What fills our minds when we can think about whatever we want to think about? And David's saying, know my thoughts. Not just the thoughts that I think when I'm at church and I have to think about God. Not the thoughts that I think when I'm work and I have to think about those responsibilities, or when I'm dealing with something with my family and I have to think about those. Not just those thoughts, God, because I have to think those thoughts. God, I want you to know the thoughts that I think that bring the fear, the anxiety. The thoughts that I have that bring me the joy and the peace. The thoughts that I have in my leisure time when it's just me and you, God, and nobody else. And I lay my head down on a pillow at night. Know my thoughts. Number five, what David prays in this prayer, he says, know my way. See my way. God, David's praying, God, I want you to see the way I'm walking. I want you to see my way of life. I want you to see the path that I have chosen to live. I want you to look at what I've done. So yes, it did start, if you notice, the four things I talked about before this, they all started, first of all, with the inside. Then David says, when you deal with the inside of me, then I want you to look at how I'm walking. Because folks, if you want to know why you are where you are, you got to start from the inside. If you want to know why you're going in the direction you're going in, you got to start on the inside. You got to answer the question, why? Listen, we can look around us and say, I am where I am. And that's true. You are where you are. You're not someplace else. You might wish you were, but you're not. Right? You might wish you were in a different place spiritually, but you're not. You may wish that you were living someplace else, but you're not. At a different job, but you're not. You are where you are. But if you want to know how your way got you there, you got to start from the inside. You got to start from the inside. And so David then prays, look at the way I'm walking. Look at my path of life. Look at my lifestyle. And then he says, see if there is any way in me that's wicked. Another translation says, see if there's anything in my life that offends you. Another translation says, see if I have any idolatrous tendency. See if I have any tendency to go towards idols instead of towards you. Is my pursuit of things, or is my pursuit of God? Is my way a pursuit of possession and what I can gain and what can help me, or is my pursuit God's glory and his purpose in my life? And then he says, lead me. And this is the prayer that I want us to powerfully pray in 2019. Lord, I'm placing my heart, my thoughts, away. I've asked you to know my heart. I've asked you to know my mind, my thoughts, and I've asked you to see my way. So I'm going to place my heart, my thoughts, and my way in your hands, and then I'm asking you to lead me in the way of everlasting. Lead me in the path that leads me to life. And if my heart, my mind, and my way are found lacking, then I submit to your work in my life. I agree to commit every part of me to following you, to going where you lead. So if 2018 has been about my way, I want 2019 to be about his way. If 2018 has been more about me, then I want 2019 to be more about him. David's prayer was not weak. It was not some type of flippant prayer that he throws out there. God, bless my 2019. It's going to be wonderful. You're going to bring me money. You're going to bless me. I'm going to have all kinds of friends. Nothing bad's ever going to happen to me. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying God's not going to bless you. I believe he is. I'm not saying this can't be the most victorious year of your life. I know that it can be, but he's not going to start out here. He's going to start in here. So we have to start with honesty and transparency. We have to start with our heart on the altar. If I've been doing it my way, God, I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it your way. All of these challenges lead us back to this question of why. The last thing that David prayed was about his way. So the last thing that he was concerned with was what he was doing. The last thing David was concerned with was the part of his life that everybody saw. But what he spent most of his time praying about was his heart and his mind. Most of the time he spent not on his actions, but on the why behind his actions. Now, I'm not saying that actions don't matter. They most definitely do. For a matter of fact, intentions without actions make no difference. You know the famous phrase, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Just because we have intentions doesn't mean that we're going to do anything great for the kingdom of God or that we're going to become anything that God wants us to become. We have to have actions. But we all know our actions follow our hearts. Our actions have a why. They have a motivation. There's something that motivates our actions. Sometimes it's just self-preservation. Sometimes we just act because of self-preservation. Sometimes we act because it's just there. Come on, that's why some of us need to stay away from buffets. Right? It's there. You ever done that? I have that. Anytime I go to like get-togethers and you got finger food, forget it. Could we please shut it down? Please tell me when the finger foods are shut down. Because if they're there and I walk by them, I have to eat them. Yeah, right? And then there's people always like, we got plenty of food. You got to eat it. Right? Sometimes our actions are motivated by a lot of different things. So that's what we are looking at. That's what David is praying. Our actions. My actions are going to follow my heart, God. And so our motivation should be what? The glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom and the building up and the lifting up of the name of Jesus Christ. Here's another scary verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Now, that's a powerful statement, folks. Examine yourselves. You think you're saved? Are you sure? Are you sure? Test yourself. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? The King James Version says, unless you are reprobates. But the English Standard Version, I like how that says there, unless you fail to meet the test. Paul says, examine yourself. Prove yourself. Test yourself to find out whether you're in your faith, unless you fail the test. What is the test? What is the test? Christ is in you. In you. What is the motivation of your heart? If the motivation of my heart is not Christ-centered, then we have to ask ourselves why. If the motivation of my heart is not Christ-centered, we are out of whack. We are out of balance. If Christ is not the motivation behind what we are doing. When we allow God to search and try us, when we ourselves take the time and the initiative to examine and prove ourselves, we have to answer the question, why? Why are we doing what we do? Now, we could spend all morning talking about why we are where we are and our past and what we went through, because you know as well as I do, you've become who you've become because of past experiences, relationships with your family, lack of relationships with your family. You've had a lot of things that's happened in your life, good things, bad things. You've had victories in your life. You've had defeats. You've had wonderful relationships. You've been in abusive relationships. Some of you, maybe you were abused by a parent. Maybe you've even been, maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe you've lost a job. There are all kinds of things that has made you who you are. So we could stop here and say, I am the way I am because my mom and dad were the way they were. Right? And I get frustrated as people of God that we consistently use the excuse that I can't help it. You know, it's like people that say, well, I'm Italian, so I have a temper. As if there's no escaping. Right? You ever heard that before? I'm this kind of person, so this is the way I am. Right? I mean, I'm a Thomas, so I'm loud. I don't know if there's anything else I can do about that. Right? But we do recognize that there are things that have shaped who we are. But the Bible tells me that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I'm not saying God erases and completely takes away our own personality, but I do believe that God can change people. Our hearts can be changed by the grace of God. The blood of Jesus Christ can still take a sinner and turn him into a saint. I still believe that. And if we don't believe that, why? When our hearts are open before God, why are we doing what we do? Is it for our glory? Is it for our promotion? Or is it for the glory of God? Is what we are doing, are we trying to fill a hole in our lives that can only be filled by God? How many people have we seen that have gone off the rails in their walk with the Lord because they thought they needed this relationship to fill them? Or they needed this job in order to fill them. Or I had to get married in order to be satisfied. Or I had to have a kid in order to be happy. Or I had to move here in order to be happy. And so what we're doing is we're jumping from one point to another point to another point, thinking that this is where I'm going to land and I'm finally going to be happy. When we don't realize that what we need is Jesus. In 2019, folks, Jesus is enough. Is it for his glory? Because Jesus called us to die to follow him. Didn't he? Didn't he do that? Jesus called us to die to follow him. So we have to ask ourselves questions like, if I'm not praying and spending time in the Word like I should, then why? Why am I not? If we're not passionate for worship, and we're not passionate for obeying God, why aren't we? Why? If we've lost our desire to be in fellowship with others or go to church consistently, why? Why did that happen? We have to be honest with ourselves because we were just talking the other evening. We do what we want to do, don't we? When people say things, man, I'd really, really like to be there. But you're never there? I'm going to have to ask you, really? You really want to be there? I don't think I believe you. Right? I'd really like to get more involved, but you know. No, I don't know. Why? No, you don't. Mike Murdoch used to use the saying, the proof of desire is in the pursuit. If you desire something, you pursue it. If you're not pursuing it, you don't desire it. The proof of desire is in your pursuit. Thank you, David. Why? Why are we not? Why are we not as fired up as we used to be? Why are we not as excited about the things of God? Here's one we don't want to answer. If there's sin in our lives and it doesn't convict us, why doesn't it? I mean, I've actually heard people say, well, yeah, I know I shouldn't be doing that, but it really doesn't bother me. Well, if it doesn't, why? At least tell me it bothers you. That would make me feel better. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm going to do whatever I want with my relationships. We get this mindset that we have a special deal with God and that we can live any way we want. See if there be any wicked way in me, God, and lead me into the way everlasting. We're living in a world where everything has been redefined, including sin itself. Sexual morals have been completely redefined. We just act like that, well, you know, hey, I'm in love. I can do whatever I want. I can satisfy whatever need I want. God understands. You know what he understands? You need to repent. Huh? Right? Why doesn't it bother us? Why doesn't it bother us that we are constantly losing our temper? Why doesn't it bother us that our mouths are constantly running 1,000 miles an hour? Why doesn't it bother us that we have unforgiveness in our life? Why doesn't it bother you? Why doesn't it convict you? Because if we're pursuing God, he's going to convict us. Conviction is not something that we're supposed to be afraid of or run from. It is life-giving. It's God exposing our hearts. It's God drawing us to him. It's the light finding us in the darkness. How can we consistently walk in hatred? How can we consistently walk in anger and it not bother us? It should, shouldn't it? It should affect our prayer life. It should affect how we walk and how we live. So we ask ourselves the question, how do we get to where we are? What stirs our hearts? What gets us excited? What are our dreams and plans and aspirations? But why should we pursue them? Do they stand in the way or are they a part of our pursuit of God? Do we understand the seriousness of answering these questions? Do we understand the seriousness that if we are going to stand and declare today, I am a follower of Christ, I am going to seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, then that means I want my heart to be in line with his. So that means I've got to be honest, and I can't hide anymore, and I can't make any excuses. I've got to see where I'm at. So a new year is a new opportunity for us to start again. God's grace and mercy is brand new for us. The Bible tells us that his mercies are new every morning. We can become who Jesus has meant for us to become. Why? Because of his work in us. We trust that his grace, his love, will shape who we are. But asking ourselves the why question makes us face our excuses. It makes us recognize the urgency. It keeps the pursuit of God's purpose and plan before us. Why am I doing this? Does it line up with God's purpose? Does it line up with God's plan? Does it lead me to his presence? Does it lead me closer to him or does it lead me away from him? 2019 can be a wonderful year for us. No matter what we're going through, Jesus is our hope. He's our hope for a beautiful future. So where we go from here begins in our hearts. It begins by praying this very bold prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Because it begins with asking why and moving forward with a motivation to do what God has called us to do, and that is to glorify him and to build his kingdom. We've been called to glorify him, to bring him the greatest glory, which brings us the greatest joy, and to build the kingdom of God, and so we can stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Bow your heads with me here this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're asking you to give us the courage to be honest with you this year. Give us the courage, O God, to recognize our excuses, to recognize, O God, our idolatrous tendencies,
to recognize, oh God, where we have gone our own way. I know every one of us in here, every one of us in here can say that I've gone my own way. Lord, we want to get on track with you. We want to get in step with you. We want to be where you are. We want to be where you take us. So we're asking you in the name of Jesus to fill our hearts with the reality of who you are. Fill our hearts with your grace and your mercy that leads us to you. Convict us and draw us by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name.